This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Liz Hoffman.
I'm Kip Allen.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
the St. Martin's International School for the Deaf.
Children around the world can now read God's Word in their own language thanks to the work of a Lutheran organization.
And history. We'll focus upon a great Lutheran hymn writer. All coming up on World Lutheran News Digest, after our Fast Track.
The Lutheran Church Canada and the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops recently held a working group discussion that may soon lead to a deeper meeting between the two church bodies. The first vice president of the Lutheran Church Canada is the Reverend Nolan Astley, the senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Kitchener, Ontario.
I think it's a wonderful start, and our hope is that it'll be 3 years of good talking. We've chosen the subject of pastoral preparation for marriage and other questions regarding marriage as the preliminary topic we want to talk about, and I think we'll be able to have some very fruitful discussions. The first meeting was, you know, very cordial and very open, and so I think there'll be some really positive things that we're able to do for both church bodies.
The LCC and CCCB have already set additional discussions for June 2013.
In Brazil, family and friends are still mourning the loss of more than 230 people who died in a nightclub fire in the university town of Santa Maria during the early morning hours of January 27th. Although investigators are still looking closely at the conditions in the nightclub, it appears that the overcrowded building had only one exit. Among those who perished in the conflagration were three students from the largest Lutheran university in the world, Universidade Luterana do Brasil, or ULBRA. Other victims included two sons of a student at the school and a member of a Lutheran congregation in Uruguayana, Brazil.
In the United States, the impact of Hurricane Sandy remains much larger than most people in the world understand, with winter weather impacting much of the same region. The latest in a series of storms included 6 inches to 2+ feet of snow, along with winds in excess of 60 miles per hour and some gusts upward of 75 miles per hour, along with a storm surge along coastal areas where the hurricane had already wiped out the sand dunes. Many residents who had returned home in recent weeks found themselves praying that the storm surge did not come into their homes or were seeking temporary shelter again as a result of the warnings that such a rise of the ocean tide could occur. LCMS Disaster Response remains in contact with local congregations and communities trying to cope with the burdens from Sandy and the latest blizzard conditions.
Pastors for the Lutheran Church in Korea continue sharing stories from a recently held seminar in Chungcheong Province. The main speaker, Dr. Malte Reinau of Luther University, discussed church programs according to the church calendar, as well as history of church architecture and the Lutheran Church to help congregational leaders prepare for the many events of 2013.
From the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Todd E. Kohlbaum has accepted the call to serve as Director of Rural and Small Town Mission. He will begin serving in this role April 1st. The RSTM Ministry Unit provides its congregations located in rural areas and small towns with specialized resources for engaging local communities through the acts of witness and mercy. Kohlbaum will oversee the development of RSTM resources, leadership training and ministerial support programs, and local and regional outreach and engagement. Kohlbaum has served as a senior pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Coal Camp, Missouri since 2004.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work that he will see Lutheran 500.
In a recent WLN Digest Minute report, we told you about education opportunities now available for deaf children around the world. This is more than just an education. It's a Lutheran education. Liz Hoffman takes a closer look at the St. Martin's International School for the Deaf.
Schools and programs for the deaf are a vital part of preparing deaf children for a future in a hearing world. Pastor Thomas Dunseth is a missionary pastor for the deaf in the Michigan district, and he works with Lutheran Friends of the Deaf in New York. He is working on a very exciting project that will help deaf students in the U.S. and China.
Lutheran education makes Lutheran Christians, and especially for the deaf people, we've just, in the last 40 years, have not really made a lot of headway into the adult deaf community. So realizing that there is both a need and an opportunity for bringing God's Word to deaf children, we set out on this track of opening a Lutheran Deaf School.
It will be called the St. Martin's International Lutheran School for the Deaf, and when up and running, the concept is to bring God's Word to deaf children at an international level.
So what we wanted to do is use my connections overseas, especially in China, to bring over international kids on a tuition basis and use that tuition to pay for our staff and our bills within a previous existing Lutheran school, and then we can offer scholarships then to local kids and then bring God's Word to the deaf children in our communities that way.
Reverend Stephen Schumacher serves as the Director of Deaf Ministries for the Lutheran Friends of the Deaf. He teaches the Deaf Ministry program at the seminary at Fort Wayne, and he is also working towards the opening of the International School for the Deaf in Detroit. Reverend Schumacher talks about the many ways in which the students will learn.
The students learn on ASL and also English, and you know they grow in the grace and the knowledge of their Savior Jesus. And they do this together, and so that through this education, then they can go back to their hometowns, to their home countries, and also share what they have learned in faith and in knowledge, whether it be in their careers, vocations, and even in their religious lives, to live out the faith that they've learned.
Once open, the St. Martin's International Lutheran School for the Deaf will be located within an existing school, Our Savior Lutheran School in Heartland, Michigan. The students, both hearing and deaf, will not only be getting a Lutheran education, but they will also learn to interact with one another. Those students from China and other countries will bring with them a new culture to share with classmates, something that can't be taught from a book.
It will be a multilingual school where everyone is signing in, everything from chapel to recess to in the hallway to student activities. The classrooms will be a separate education, but there will be intersections and things like sports, gym, cafeteria, chapel, maybe art, and some ASL class, American Sign Language class too. And we've already actually started at Our Savior teaching sign language there and having chapel interpreted.
While the education will be intended for students in all areas of the world, Reverend Schumacher explains why many of the students may come from China.
In many different parts of the world, we see communities that are based on the Chinese population that have immigrated into those particular areas. We see that in New York, we see that in San Francisco, we see that in St. Louis, and we see it in Kansas City, as well as we see it in the Detroit area and other areas around our own country. Well, the reason for that is the desire of the Chinese to be able to receive the best education that they can and to experience the American culture. Well, that is not just limited with the hearing population in China, America, or wherever in the world. That also crosses other cultural bounds, such as within the deaf culture. And so hearing families and parents, they desire to have their children experience those same type of cultural experiences that they can develop and share then and bring back to their own home countries. And so as we look at providing not only a Christian Lutheran education, but we also provide, that cultural aspect for the children from China to come over and to experience the American culture with the language and the living and the exposure to that. So it broadens their world and their perspective as well. And so when we look at China, we see a large population, and we also see a large population of the deaf with hearing families. And so as they send out, other children, hearing children to international schools in America, so also is that desire, to send deaf children. And so we'd like to provide that. We think that, this is something that it's a unique opportunity that I think we're taking.
Reverend Dr. Victor Raj was born and raised in India, where he was a pastor for 10 years and is now a faculty member on the Concordia Seminary campus in St. Louis. He and his wife Annie have three sons, and the oldest, Anand, was born deaf.
Our oldest son is deaf. He was born deaf, we were told, when he was about a year old.
At the age of only 5.5 years, Anand left his home and family in India so he could get an education at a deaf school in the United States. Dr. Raj says while it was difficult to send his young son away, they were comforted by the Lutheran pastor and his family that Anand stayed with.
Because we knew that he was coming away from his biological family to families that loved him as their own child, and that was very comforting.
Although the school Anand attended wasn't Lutheran, Reverend Raj thinks this is such an exciting opportunity for other deaf children across the world.
And it is a good thing that we launched this. And if it is international, as international schools have worked overseas, this will definitely be a mission agency where they are, regardless of their culture and nationality, they are brought up in a Christian cultural context, framing their thoughts fundamentally in a Christian way, so they are able to go out into the world and be bold about being who they are, because the church enabled them to become who they are.
And what are the rewards when these students have not only learned a new culture, how to sign, and even more importantly, faith in Jesus Christ?
As a pastor and having served 22 years in the parish ministry, when you make evangelism calls and you call on a hearing individual who has had very little religious education and faith knowledge, and you continue to visit with them, and you see that individual just grow immensely in faith and in hope and in knowledge of their Savior Jesus Christ. And as you see that, you know, it's not like, what a success I've done. No, you look at it as, wow, what a success the Word of God does through the power of the Holy Spirit in this individual. Well, if we take that and we put that into the perspective of the school, and we see those children coming in from a wide variety of cultures and countries and languages, and we bring them in and we work with them and teach them ASL, you know, the teachings of the Bible from the Old Testament through the New Testament, and to see them learning how to witness that to each other, whether it's in the school classroom or whether it's on a playground or in a host family's house, you know, how does that feel? I can't tell you how it feels, but I can tell you what it does to my faith. It strengthens my faith. Each and every time that we see another child of God who has come from very little knowledge to great knowledge and continues to live that faith, that is hope. That is knowledge that the truth of salvation is really in God's Word.
Plans are for the St. Martin's International Lutheran School for the Deaf to be open in September of 2013. To learn more about this project, go to KFUO.org and click on WLN Digest for a link to their website.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. இது லோக லூதரன் வார்த்தா பரிபாடி ஆகுனு.
Jesus does love all of the children and adults of the world equally, so shouldn't they all be able to read his good news? From Sudan and Vietnam, Argentina and Siberia, from India to China, far too many people don't have the basic books that are so vital in understanding the Lutheran faith, and oftentimes, if they do have the books, they are not printed in their language. Reverend Dr. Robert Rahn is the founder of an organization set out to change this. It was started 20 years ago in his basement, and it's called the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Reverend Rahn tells how it all got started.
And first effort was to assist in bringing Lutheranism back to Russia when the wall came down. The plan was to provide Lutheran confessional writings where they had been destroyed or where they never existed. And when we started in Russia and in the former communist countries like Latvia and Ukraine,
From there, Lutheran Heritage Foundation, or LHF, has seen tremendous growth and has shared the message of good news with millions.
People heard about us and consequently asked us for help, and that took us into, at this point, 80 countries and 90 languages that we're working in different books and materials.
Dr. Ron shares the mission of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, which is the key of their success.
Our mission is to translate, to publish, distribute, and introduce Lutheran confessional writings so that the church around the world will grow.
And grow it has, thanks to that mission. LHF has been able to provide a wide range of materials.
Thus far, in our 20-year history, we have published 650 different titles, books, and materials that range everywhere from children's books all the way up through more technical theological works like the Book of Concord. And various books and materials are used in a lot of different circumstances and places where Lutheranism has existed for a while. They may have need of books like you would use in seminary training.
Dr. Ron has traveled across the globe working with LHF.
I've made numerous trips into various countries where we're doing work, and to line up translators, line up the workers, and to get the various projects started and then to keep them going.
Of the many projects the Lutheran Heritage Foundation has worked on, the book called A Child's Garden of Bible Stories is one of the most well-known.
It's a basic Bible storybook which has in it about maybe 25 or 30 basic Bible stories. And this has been one of Concordia Publishing House's best-selling books ever. And it's a very basic book and maybe written on a third or fourth grade level, and we find it very helpful on a mission field, especially when there aren't Lutherans, and many times we're giving this book out to people who don't even own a single book. When it has a sampling from the Old Testament and also from the New Testament, this becomes a very valuable tool to do our mission work and a foundational tool from which we start to grow the Christians and maybe even start the church body or the congregation.
Reverend Dr. Ron remembers passing the book out to churches in India and how excited the kids were to get the book.
I've been amazed at the reaction of children when they receive the book. With those kids who received that book, it was a matter of them sitting there and opening the book and looking at the pictures and reading in the Tamil language, in their own language, but they were sitting there intent on having received this book and wanting to see what's in it.
And what a rewarding experience to know that what started out as an office in his basement has grown to an organization that allows people around the world to read and learn God's Word.
It's an emotional type thing to be able to distribute these books in many corners of the world where it happens to be the first book they have ever owned that they could call their own.
To learn more about A Child's Garden of Bible Stories and the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, click the link on our website, kfuo.org.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടി ആകുന്നു. യഹ വിശ്വ ലൂത്രൻ സമാചാര ഹൈ.
History. In the Reformation and since, there have been many influential theologians and writers who have helped to shape the Lutheran Church. Today we offer up one of those stories in a series of segments we call
Yesterday, Today, Tomorrow.
On WLN Digest, this week marks the anniversary of the great hymn writer and Lutheran theologian Paul Gerhardt being removed from his pastoral office in Berlin in the year 1666, when Gerhardt refused to sign a compromise statement from government officials. Dr. Joseph Hurl is Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska, in the United States. He's a published hymnist and composer, an editor of hymnals, and writer of the book Worship Wars in Early Lutheranism, Choir, Congregation, and Three Centuries of Conflict. Dr. Hurl has also studied the life and hymns of Paul Gerhardt.
Gerhardt was assistant pastor the German term is deacon, at St. Nicholas in Berlin. And this was a Lutheran territory. It was part of the Electorate of Brandenburg. The pastors were Lutheran. The people were Lutheran. One person who wasn't Lutheran was Frederick William, who was the ruler of the territory. He was the elector. He, along with his family, had converted to Calvinism several decades earlier. And so he wanted the territory to be at peace between the Calvinists and the Lutheran confessions. And so he issued an edict that said, Lutheran preachers, you are not allowed to preach against Calvinism. Well, Lutheran preachers, some of them did it anyway. Gerhard wasn't one of them. He didn't stir up trouble, but he also felt that he could not go against his conscience by signing the elector's edict. And so he essentially told the government, I'm not going to sign the edict. And so the government removed him.
Putting things into context, the 1600s were a contentious time as the Reformation moved across the European continent.
Lutherans at the time were constantly running into theological controversies because Calvinists were a real threat in many parts of the Holy Roman Empire. So this is nothing new for Gerhard or for Lutherans and Calvinists in general. It came to a head in this territory, in Brandenburg, though, because the elector cared so much about religious peace. He really wanted these two sides to put aside their disagreements. And the Lutherans said, no, these disagreements go to the essentials of the faith, and we can't compromise on what we consider essential.
Historically speaking, Paul Gerhard lived in a time period in which the movements of Luther's Reformation was very impactful. Not everything was well.
The most devastating war in Europe before the 20th century. The economic impact was huge, and the war's privations hastened the spread of disease. Estimates say between half and two-thirds of the population of Central Europe died between the combined effects of war, disease, famine, and economic displacement.
But it was Gerhard's hymn writing that was being noticed by church pastors, cantors, and musicians. And after the 30 Years' War, the publishing of hymnals brought his hymns into focus across the German countryside.
His hymns, by and large, are hymns of comfort. And this is exactly what people needed in this time following an absolutely horrible war. His hymns also have a very personal aspect. It takes the theology of the church and brings the individual into it in a very personal way. For example, his hymn, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me, which is a great hymn in English because it was written by Paul Gerhard, who's the greatest or one of the greatest hymn writers in German, and translated by John Wesley, who with his brother Charles are the greatest hymn writers in the English language. And he talks in this hymn about the love of Christ and the desire for Jesus to reign in his own heart. The text is, Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. Unite my thankful heart to thee and reign without a rival there. Thine holy, thine alone I am, be thou alone my constant flame. With the request that nothing in my soul may dwell but thy pure love alone. So it takes the church's theology and makes it very personal.
We look back at Paul Gerhard and ask, what was special about his hymns?
He was a very fine poet. He just could write wonderful poems that are well constructed with great imagery. They were very devotional as bringing the theology of the church and making it personal. What's especially significant about him, though, is his theological integrity. He really understood what the Christian faith is all about, and he's able to take that and explain it in his hymns in such a way that is not preachy, but is very personal, but he also gets it right, and he nails the most important things.
In the 21st century, it should be noted, the impact of Paul Gerhard is still felt throughout Christianity through some of his most famous hymns, such as O Haupt voll Blut und Wunden. O Sacred Head Now Wounded.
During his lifetime, he was known especially as a faithful Lutheran pastor, but also as a hymn writer, that is, a writer of hymn texts. And today, he is regarded as the most important writer of hymns in the German language after Martin Luther.
It can be said that hymn writing from luminaries such as Paul Gerhardt yesterday influences today and will continue to help shape the writings of tomorrow's Lutheran hymnists as well.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
And now, a laugh for Lutherans. At Sunday school, they were learning how God created everything, including human beings. Johnny was especially intent when the teacher told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were ill and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" Johnny responded, "I have pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." And that was a laugh for Lutherans.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, write to WLN Digest, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email news@KFUO.org.